Greetings, Largs Naz listeners. I hope you're having a great day so far. It's about lunchtime on Monday, the 23rd of March, and it's the beginning of a good week, and I hope it's a great week for you as we try to adjust to this new way of doing things and new situation for us all. I enjoyed watching yesterday so many ministers and congregations trying new and creative ways to do church and to be the church during this time when we can't be in church. And I hope you were able to listen to Pastor Tasha's sermon on the 23rd Psalm. It was wonderful. If you haven't listened to it, please check it out on the sermons page of our largsnaz.org website. We also appreciate those of you who are continuing to support the church financially through online giving and through standing orders, and those of you who are using your Largs Naz giving box that we distributed. If you don't have one of those and you wonder what it's all about, give us a call and we'll make sure that you get one. This Sunday is our Big Faith Sunday
in the morning
and a Bible study in the evening called Big Faith that looks at a person in the Bible who exemplifies remarkable faith, and this Sunday will be no different. The difference, however, will be that our sermon will be uploaded to our sermons page by 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and then in the evening at 6 p.m. here on 6 p.m. Scottish time, we'll be on Facebook Live. And so we'll be live streaming. That way, folks who join in can comment and can ask questions, and it'll be interactive. And this Sunday, we're going to be looking at John chapter 9, the Gospel of John chapter 9. And I just wanted to send you this message just to give you an idea of a way to think about John chapter 9, and it's a way that we're going to be thinking about it this Sunday. And basically, what I'd like you to do is to consider John 9 in the sense that it is a dramatic narrative. Now, all the Gospels are dramatic narratives. They tell a story about people. They tell a story about Jesus' life, and people do things, and they go places. So there's a setting, and there are characters who do things. Now, that's different from, say, like in the Apostle Paul, in some of his letters, where he's explaining a theological concept. He's not telling a story about things that happen. It's not a dramatic narrative. But in the Gospels, we find dramatic narratives. And in John chapter 9, I think a good way to look at the way this chapter is structured is to think of it as a work of drama, to look at it sort of like it's a play, really, and I want to consider that this play is best understood, this work of drama, this dramatic narrative, best understood as a work with seven scenes. Now, you can, if you wanted to, you could divide it up into less than that or more than that, either way, but I think it works well with seven scenes. And so there are some characters here. There are some folks who do things. And in each scene, these characters change so that the different characters do different things. And so there's some action that goes on. Really, in John chapter 9, there's not a whole lot of action. There's really just a couple of things that happen. Primarily, a healing happens. But for the most part, there's this healing, and then there's a lot of response to it. There's a lot of words said about it, and we hear from different individuals and different groups about what they think and how they respond to this healing. But so I want us to think about, and I'd like you to think about, John chapter 9 as we prepare for Sunday's Big Faith Bible study and sermon. When you look at John chapter 9, look at the characters involved and the various scenes. Now, I'm going to tell you who the characters are. There are two individual characters, and that's Jesus and a man born blind. Now, notice that only one of those characters has a name, and that's Jesus. In fact, Jesus is the only character at all in all of John chapter 9 who has a name. There are individuals. There's Jesus, the man born blind. Then there are four groups. There's Jesus' disciples, again, not given a name, just known by their group, Jesus' disciples. Then there's a group of people called the neighbors. Then there are the Pharisees. They're also called by John the Jews. And then there's a small group of only two people, and that's the blind man's parents. So what I'd like to do is just walk through each of these seven scenes, read the scripture, I'd like you to start thinking about what goes on in each one of these scenes and how they work as a drama, and what ideas come up as you consider their response, the response of these groups to this healing. So let's just jump right in. If we look at verse 1 through verse 5, I want to call that scene 1. And the characters in scene 1 are Jesus, his disciples, and the man blind from birth. Now, and this is what happens, beginning with verse 1. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples ask him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And there ends scene 1. Now, scene 2 is a short scene, only 2 verses long, and here we don't see the disciples anymore. This is a scene that involves only Jesus and the blind man. Scene 2, beginning with verse 6. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. End of scene 2. Scene 3. Now we get some more people involved. Now Jesus leaves the scene, and the scene only involves the man's neighbors and the blind man himself. Beginning with verse 8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." There ends scene 3. Now, scene 4. We get another group of people involved here, not just the neighbors and the man who was previously blind, but the Pharisees get involved here, because the neighbors decide to bring this man to the Pharisees to see what they think about the whole thing, starting with verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." End of scene 4. Now, scene 5. We got a couple more characters coming in here, because the Pharisees want to get to the bottom of this thing. They haven't gotten much out of the blind man. They want to ask his parents, and that's what happens here, beginning with verse 18. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." That ends scene 5. Now, in scene 6, the man's parents are out of the picture. This scene 6 only involves the Pharisees and the man who was previously blind. Starting with verse 24. So for the second time, they, the Pharisees, called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner." He answered, "I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Scene 6 ends there. Now in scene 7, Jesus comes back into the picture and interacts with the man who was previously blind, and we hear from some of the Pharisees as well, starting with verse 35. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we're not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." And that ends scene 7, and that ends chapter 9. So what I'd like you to do is to think about between now and Sunday what happens in each one of those scenes, in each of those individual scenes, and how those characters work together, and what we can learn from the words and the actions and the attitudes of each of those groups, and also from the man born blind. On Sunday morning, we'll talk specifically about the man born blind himself as an example of what we call big faith. And then on Sunday evening, we'll expand our discussion and we'll talk more about each of the individual groups and each and more ways to interpret these passages as well. We'll talk a lot about the Greek and about other influences and what this might be saying to us. And there is a lot there, let me tell you. So I hope you'll use this week to think about this passage of the gospel and come to the Bible study on Sunday night ready to discuss and ready to ask some hard questions and just have a good time of learning and teaching and digging in to the scriptures. And I can't wait to get together with you all then. So have a good week. Stay safe. Stay home if you can. Wash your hands a lot. And Stay healthy. Hope to see you all soon. God bless you.